This is 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, sitting alongside Russ Collins, the executive director of the Michigan and State Theaters in Ann Arbor. He is here, as he is every Thursday, for Cinema Chats, and we thank you for the time and welcome back from a big movie conference.
That's right. CinemaCon is the largest gathering of movie exhibitors in the country. Now, the Art House Convergence, which is a conference that we put together in January, is the largest gathering of independent cinema operators, and these are just all their multiplexes, they're everybody, their mom and pop gatherings. Is a one really large trade show, kind of, you know, like you can think of the auto show with like just all kinds of stuff there. That
through the years of our conversation and the Art House Convergence, we know that this is a growing and strong part of the exhibitioners industry,
right?
But Variety keeps ringing the death now.
That's right. They before, as part of their CinemaCon publication, right before CinemaCon opened, their cover story was about how independent cinemas are struggling. And, you know, any business that goes across the country, so if you took a look at hardware stores, there's a whole bunch of hardware stores across the country that are struggling. There's a whole bunch of them that
there's
are doing
like
just fine,
one in three
too.
Restaurants closed within 3 years.
That's
or
right.
Something like that.
Yeah. So, yes, there's a lot of independent cinemas that are struggling. And is it because they got their financing wrong? Is it because the management is just tired? Is it because they just chose a really terrible location? So a lot of independent cinemas.
Community support is extraordinarily
exactly.
important.
Exactly. And we've provided a system for independent cinemas to be essentially very high level of success. But anyway, so the Art House Convergence wrote a response to Variety, which is actually getting published quite widely in the independent
But not by Variety.
Well, we've talked to the reporters, and they will probably do a follow-up, and there's other journals that are doing follow-ups on it, including Box
Excellent.
Office Magazine and Screen Dollars and other things. So anyway, that was good. Warner Brothers premiered a film that they're going to release later in the summer or in the fall. It's called Blinded by the Light, and I saw it at Sundance. It was a lot of fun. They also showed a big clip from Downton Abbey. It's being turned into a movie.
I can't tell you. You're going to be among the millions that are thrilled about that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So I was a fan of Downton Abbey when it was on, and we did some preview screenings on it with DPTV. It was a public television show. And it's actually coming out in September. It's got a lot of the original cast back, and that's going to be exciting. It's set in 1927, so it's a continuation. And we need to remember that this was originally based on a Robert Altman film called Gosford Park that Julian Fellowes did the script to, and Robert Altman directed it, and they were going to, originally Downton Abbey was going to be a continuation of that, but actually they set it back in time from the original Gosford Park, which was more in the 1930s, and they started the original Downton Abbey in 1912.
So now we're getting up to 1927, that means there can be,
later.
You know, five or ten more.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's as the aristocracy has really changed, and the king and queen are going to come and visit Downton Abbey, so anyway, it should be great. A lot of, if you like the original, I'm sure you'll like the movie. To what's happening now, opening at the Michigan Theater is a film called The Aftermath, which stars Keira Knightley, Jason Clarke, and Alexander Sarsgaard. And it's set in 1946. Keira Knightley's husband, played by Jason Clarke, is posted in Hamburg to try to rebuild that devastated city right after World War II.
Keira Knightley really likes these period pieces. She does
yes.
a lot of them, doesn't she?
She was just in Colette not too long ago, which was set in the Belle Epoque in the late 1800s in France. And this is a movie that the audiences are really liking. So on Rotten Tomatoes, they give it a 75% positive response. Although the critics, not all the critics don't like it, but it's gotten less than positive reviews. So anyway, don't let that...
Sneak peek tonight, right?
Yeah. We're going to sneak peek it tonight and then play it for a week. But it's definitely worth checking out if you're into period costume drama kind of things.
Well, it seems like these days everybody's into Queen.
And we have Bohemian Rhapsody Sing-Along, which is going to be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Don't miss it.
I want to hear a recording of your audience.
The lyrics will be on the screen, and this is going to be a very, very popular event. If you're a fan of Queen, great. even if you're not a fan of Queen, it's fun to set in the audience and have everybody participate in the way that they do.
It's a good character story, too.
Yeah, it is a good movie. It won a few Academy Awards. And then another cult hit. So I don't know that Bohemian Rhapsody is quite the cult hit thing yet, but I bet you it turns into one. But The Princess Bride is definitely a cult hit, and it's going to show on Friday at 10 o'clock, so right after Bohemian Rhapsody.
Am I weird for not having ever seen that?
Yes, you are. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that you will be chased after and skewered by a sword as a result. So it's based on the William Goldman novel. It's got a lot of fun performances. Mandy Patinkin as one that is particularly, particularly fun. So go check it out.
You are listening to Cinema Chat on your community NPR station. 89.1 WEMU. David Fair with Russ Collins, and Spider-Man won't go away.
Well, so the only film that won an Academy Award that we did not play before the Academy Awards was Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and it won the Best Animated Film. And it was just getting such broad appeal, we didn't feel like we needed to play it.
So it stuck around, though.
Yeah, but we're doing it as a late-night screening on April the 6th, so that's Saturday, and at 10 o'clock, so go check that out. It is really, really good. Phil Lord and Christopher Miller put their heads together to put this animated version of Spider-Man, and a lot of folks think it is the best Spider-Man movie there is, and it's an animated film. So The Rebound is on Monday, and that is part of the University of Michigan's showing of a free showing of a film that they've got about a women's basketball team. So go check that out. And the Banff Mountain Film Festival is on Tuesday. This is actually really popular. It's an outdoor movie extravaganza. So if you're into hiking or skiing or any of those mountain activities,
then you're going to find what you're looking for.
And it's very, very popular. We're doing an Alphonse Cuarón series, an Y Tu Maman Tambien, which got him international notice when it came out. That's going to play on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. And then Summer Wars is an anime series that we're doing on Wednesday, so go check that out. The Trip is part of our Wine Wednesdays that we're doing at the State Theater. So this is Steve Coogan and Rob Brandon are taking a wine tour trip, driving through the provinces and checking out the various.
And run into a lot of consternation and relationship issues along the way.
Well, between themselves,
right,
absolutely.
Right.
Directed by Michael Winterbottom. It's very,
yeah,
very improvisational.
Very, very funny.
And it is. It's a lot of fun. They're very, 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 very funny. Continuing, we have Transit, which just opened up on Monday. We had the Ann Arbor Film Festival, and so the Michigan Theater was completely jammed up with that, mm-hmm. and a wonderful way. Record attendance at the Ann Arbor Film Festival.
Which is fantastic.
It went great. But this Transit film is really interesting, and it opened on Monday, so it won't be around that long. And it's a kind of Kafka does Casablanca. It's about this guy that's caught in a post-war situation and trying to get through to the next place. And it's all very, and there's a totalitarian government that's chasing after him. Gloria Bell continues with Julianne Moore. It's great. Apollo 11 is just everybody likes that film. It's a documentary about the Apollo launch that went to the moon, and it's
with 11,000 hours of audio recordings and everything that had never been released or heard from before.
Edited from, because the movie is not 11,000 hours long. A Beach Bum is this weird film with Matthew McConaughey where he plays a beach bum who likes substances.
Sounds like an autobiography.
Yeah, well, and it's directed by Harmony Korine, who's a very odd, very culty filmmaker, and a lot of people really like
Us and Captain Marvel still around?
Yeah, Us and Captain Marvel. You got to go check out Us. It is a great, great film directed by
Jordan
Peele.
I hear a lot of folks around the station talking about this Shazam movie. Now, I seem to remember that as a really awful television show when my brother was a kid.
Yes, well, it's played for laughs for sure. There were a lot of Shazam posters and trailers and people costumed.
So they're
like
pushing
Shazam
it hard, huh?
At CinemaCon. So yeah, no, it's a superhero spoof, and it's
I hear it's a movie that can kind of laugh at itself, and allow you to laugh along.
Zachary Levy plays the main character.
No, I'm a huge Stephen King fan. I love the writings, but there is very few, if any, movies that I can think of that I thought translated well to the screen. However, people are really looking forward to this Pet Sematary movie coming out this week.
Yeah, well, a movie is a completely different art form than a novel. And it's hard to change, you know, it's hard to transfer those things.
Especially when he writes 1,100, 1,200 pages
right.
at a time.
And
right?
when, you know, everyone, if you say, well, it's like turning a story, Romeo and Juliet or the Nutcracker, into a ballet. It's really more like
it's
taking a story and turning it into a completely different art form. People go, well, that's crazy. But it's not crazy because Pet Sematary is really something Stephen King writes for inside your head. And,
he lives in mine, that's
and
for sure.
And movies don't exist. Inside the character's head, you only observe what they do, and some it's really hard to do, but we'll keep our fingers crossed and hope this particular version starring Jason Clarke is going to come off extremely well. And what better storyteller is there than Stephen King?
I really do enjoy his writing, that is to be sure. For Russ Collins, I'm David Fair. Get out and pick a movie and go see one, and we'll hope we'll see you at the theater. This is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.
Go get them, Detroit Tigers, opening day in Detroit.